Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook. Good morning, Beth Ann.
Good morning.
You know, when Styrofoam first came around, it was hailed as kind of a blessing and was quickly adopted by all kinds of manufacturers, yeah?
Well, this is true, but we know now that this blessing also came with a lot of detrimental effects.
Sure,
you know,
did,
because,
yeah,
people like the fact that it's cheap and it's light, and that's all to the good, perhaps, but we all know that it doesn't biodegrade. That's why supporters of a proposed Maui ban on Styrofoam say that it's time that their county take the lead, and it appears that it has. The bill moved out of committee yesterday. It's now going to the full county council. We're going to talk a little bit about it today with Lauren Bickley. She is she's a member of the group Rise Above Plastics, and she's its coordinator with Surf Rider Foundation. Also, she is involved with the local marine debris there and trying to make sure that there isn't any more of it than we see happen periodically. She's on the phone with us now. Good morning, Lauren. Are you there?
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us. I saw your Facebook post yesterday. A lot of very happy people that this bill made it through committee and is now going to the full council after a very long time, it seems, of trying to get it to that point.
We're very excited. We've had some people working on this bill since 2007, and I've personally been working on it for close to 3 years now. So it was a big step in the right direction.
Why did it take so long?
You know, we have continuously shown a lot of community support over and over, countless times, 20 supporting the bill, you know, two or three testifiers opposing the bill. It comes down to a lot of the misinformation about prices, about alternatives to compostable or to polystyrene products, and just a lot of misinformation and fear-mongering. But we've really worked hard within our community and worked directly with our restaurants to show them that there are alternatives that are good for the environment and still good for their business.
So, for example, we know we've seen some of them that, in fact, we've used here at the station, but we always hear that that's going to add cost to the bottom line, as you just mentioned, that you've been trying to dissuade restaurant owners from that perspective, which, you know, you're trying to bust that myth a little bit there. What are the best alternatives that come in at roughly the same price point as Styrofoam?
That's a great question. And actually, you know, I'm sitting here looking at 40 pages from the San Jose County in California of different alternatives to polystyrene. So there's a myriad of products out there that fit anything from a Simon bowl to a plate lunch. And we have a couple of local distributors who provide these products directly. A lot of the products are very comparable in price. And what we've always said is that this is a pass-through cost. So ultimately, if a restaurant is paying a couple cents more for an alternative product to polystyrene, that's going to see on a customer's bill of maybe 5-10 cents. A number of restaurants already charge an additional 25 cents if you take a takeout container.
For that additional cost, would they in fact be telling a customer and making, you know, in fact a sales point out of it that they're using this kind of takeout container as opposed to the traditional Styrofoam and they actually show that cost on there?
Some of the restaurants currently do. A number of restaurants don't charge additional. So, you know, that's part of our bill and what we're working towards is just to educate the restaurant owners here and show them that ultimately we don't believe that this is going to affect the bottom line. We have over 4,000 restaurants in San Francisco who, you know, range from really large chains to small mom and pop stores. And most of the bills, and including the San Francisco bill, have these hardships written into them. And we actually have emails directly from our San Francisco coordinator. And he was, you know, personally went around, talked to thousands of these different restaurants, and not one of the restaurants has applied for a hardship. So we really don't think that the price is an issue. And if the bills are passed, it's ultimately going to drive down the price point of these alternative products anyway.
I want to just talk to you a little bit about something we've been dealing with for a long time in Hawaii, the idea of getting rid of plastic bags. And then people were saying, but there are some bags that actually do biodegrade. And then we were told that those bags don't, in fact, really biodegrade, that they just break down into such small pieces that we can't readily identify them, but they're still there. Do we have any real scientific background to show that the products that we're bringing in to replace styrofoam aren't just disappearing from view, but they're actually disappearing?
Yeah, so you bring up a kind of interesting conversation about biodegradable versus compostable. So what we're really advocating is a 1-2-C approach, that a product's either a 1 or 2 recyclable plastic or compostable. Biodegradable just means that it's going to break down, but it's not necessarily going to go away. It's going to stay in that toxic form. Compostable means it actually returns back into natural elements. And so the products that we've been working with restaurants to have are these compostable products, a product that is plant-based, not petroleum-based, not one of the types of bioplastics, but a product that will ultimately return back into the natural environment and break down, you know, even if it's on the side of the road versus a polystyrene container that's never going to go away.
So what are these containers made out of? Are they corn-based?
Actually, many of them are sugarcane-based or bagasse. We have a number of pulp-based and paper products. So trying to move away, again, from what we call bioplastics and really utilize the plant-based products that are more of the pulp and paper and sugarcane and byproducts like the bagasse.
At this point, with it, the bill going now to the full council, do you have an expectation that this is going to move through after all this time and all the work that you've done to make your case?
I feel really confident with the Maui County Council. Again, we've repeatedly shown widespread community support. We have close to 1,000 signatures on change.org. We have countless amount of testimony. We had 20 students show up from Kihei Charter School to testify yesterday and support the bill. We've had numerous high school students and the Maui Huliao Foundation who have repeatedly shown that this is something the community wants. This is something that the restaurant owners are embracing and working towards. And I do think that the Maui County Council has seen it, and it's in the Maui County Island Plan, and it's also part of the Aloha Plus Challenge. We have to move to zero waste. We're an island. This makes sense. And we've got to take the next step forward, and I think they understand and recognize that.
Lauren, we're all islands, and yet it seems to be that, in this case, Maui is taking the lead. Is this creating a model for the rest of us?
I truly, truly hope so.
If that's to be the case, is there already activity going on other islands to be able to spread this a little wider than Maui?
Absolutely. Big Island has been working on a bill over the past couple of months. Oahu and Kauai are constantly working as well, and we have chapters, surfrider chapters on each island who have been working with local coalitions. We've also launched the Ocean Friendly Restaurants Program, and it's a statewide program. It's the first statewide program of its kind in the nation, and it's a voluntary program that recognizes restaurants who have taken steps to decrease their single-use plastic consumption. And we have almost 100 restaurants statewide who have joined this program and, again, are voluntarily taking these steps mm-hmm. to reduce not only polystyrene but other single-use plastic products. So we are creating a groundswell, and each of the islands is working towards, you know, that zero waste and reducing single-use plastics.
Well, thanks very much for giving us an update, and good luck to you with this. We'll be watching.
Thank you guys so much.
Lauren Blickley is the Rise Above Plastics Coordinator with Surfrider Foundation, the Maui chapter. She's also a local marine debris activist and researcher. She was the lead author on a Maui-based marine debris study published in 2016 and was a member of Maui's Polystyrene Task Force convened in 2014.